But so I obeyed the Lord and said, I'm going to preach on this verse tonight. And you say, well, what verse? It's Psalm 139 and verse number 5 for you tonight. Psalm 139 and verse number 5, and I'll read it. It says, thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Let me read that again. Thou hast beset me. This is written by David under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Thou hast beset me, speaking of God, behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Now, in Psalm 139, he's called the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, which is the covenant name for God, the personal God of our having a personal relationship with the nation of Israel, and a personal relationship for us as believers in Israel's Messiah. And God has entered into that covenant relationship, and we know he's faithful. We sung about it tonight. The choir sang about it. God, the unchangeable God, he is faithful in the summer, faithful in the winter, faithful in the springtime, faithful in the fall time. We just had the color of the leaves changing and how beautiful that was. Now suddenly the leaves have fallen off, or gradually they fell off, and now the white has covered and made everything beautiful. But God doesn't change. The seasons change, but he doesn't change. And we know that we who know the Lord, you have a wonderful covenant relationship with God the Father, with God the Son, and with God the Holy Ghost. And I want to say tonight that according to Psalm 139, verse 5, whether you know it or not, whether you appreciate it or not, you are surrounded by this unchangeable God tonight. And we're going to talk about that tonight. And the name of my message is, you are watched always by the all-seeing God. You are watched always by the all-seeing God. In this psalm, you have what's called God's omniscience, verses 1 through 6. And then verse 7, you begin to talk about his omnipresence. And then following that, it's about his omnipotence. And then after that, you have his omni-righteousness. All through the world, wherever he is, he's righteous. And this psalm is a tremendous psalm, but I'm just going to preach on the part that has to do with his omniscience. And one of the men tell me, what does omniscience mean when we use that big word? What is that?
All-knowing.
All-knowing. All-seeing. He knows. Omnipresence is he's everywhere presence. Omnipotence, he's all-powerful. Omni-righteous, he's righteous everywhere. He always operates the same. People sometimes change their stripes depending on where they are, and they change the way they talk. Talk one way, and, you know, Hillary Clinton, she talks like she's black when she's speaking to the black people. And she, God is always righteous, omni-righteous. And this psalm talks about that, but we want to talk about his omniscience. You are always watched by an all-seeing God. So I want to say two things about that tonight. Number one, so stop trying to slip away. Psalm 139, verse 5, I'll read it, and you follow along, your copy. It says, thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. You see, God has surrounded us. He's behind us. He's before us. And he's right now got his hand on us. You realize that? He's omnipresent, but he's omniscient. And therefore, stop trying to slip away. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that God knows everything that you're thinking tonight. I'm glad that we don't have a screen about 50 feet high, 25 feet wide, and now we're going to flash everything that Bob Bajeski has thought about all week up on that screen. He'd go right under the floor. The good, the bad, the ugly. Every word he said. Thank God that God knows that. And we need to understand what the Word of God says. It says in Hebrews, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, But all things are naked and opened unto him, the eyes of him, with whom we have to do. Everything is naked before God. There are no secrets with God. He knows it all. And that's what it's saying here in verse number 5 of Psalm 139. He says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. But God knows. Verse 4, there's not a word in my tongue, but Lord, Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He says in verse 3 that he's watching you when you're sleeping. You know, be careful. He's watching you when you're awake. He watches you every day, all the time, everything you're doing all week long. He says he watches you and he's acquainted with all my ways. So if that is the case, stop trying to slip away. Adam and Eve, they started to slip away and hide in the Garden of Eden because they didn't want to communicate with God. Why didn't they want to? I'm sure there are people here tonight, they've slipped away from church because they've been slipping away from the God who sees everything that they're doing, thinking and saying. And I'm not saying you're not going to fall. The righteous man falls. I'm not saying you're not going to slip away, but I pray that you'd be on a short leash. I pray you wouldn't get too far and you'd get tugged back. I pray that you'd not slip away, because when Adam and Eve slipped away, they put on fig leaves and they had on aprons that just covered the front, but it didn't cover their nakedness. If you wear a big long apron, it's no good. If you walk around and your back is naked and you moon the world, you know. And that's what they were doing. And God saw that, and he saw that they needed to have him take care of them. And so he confronted them with their sin, not to condemn them, not to send them to hell. Thank God when he confronts us with our sin as believers, it's so that we can be forgiven and cleansed and not slip away and walk with him. And I just determined, you know, I do fall, I do slip away, but when I do, I determine I'm not sinning against law. I'm not sinning against a judge who condemns me to hell because I slipped away. No, I'm sinning against the love of God. I'm sinning against the grace of God. I'm sinning against what God provided Adam and Eve, a covering. He slew a lamb. He killed a lamb and shed its blood, an innocent little lamb. He covered them with the skins of that lamb. And God says, I have slain the lamb for you, my own lamb. Behold tonight the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, of all of history, of every believer. That sin is paid for by the Lamb of God. So why slip away from the Lamb? Why slip away from the love of God and hide yourself away from God in diversions and in distractions and in things that you know are sins, in things that you know are slowing you down, their weights? Don't keep slipping away. And when you do, come back quickly to the God of the Bible, and because you are watched always by the all-seeing God that we have. But, you know, when it says in Hebrews chapter 4, neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight. All things are naked and opened unto him with the eyes of him with whom we have to do. It goes on, the next verse, you know what it says? We have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God and high priest, touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Our priest is better than their priest. Our rock, capital R, is better than their rock. And I'm talking about the Roman Catholic whore church. Thank God. Thank God that we have a better priest. Better than that pope. Our priest is omniscient. He knows everything. But we have his blood that he's taken through outer space into the third heaven, put it on the mercy seat there. And so what does the Bible say? Instead of slipping away, it says, come boldly. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You've heard me say it over and over again. Mercy's when you slip away. Mercy's when you sin. Mercy's when you fail. My wife used to tell me, I don't know how you get back up so quickly. I feel like beating myself when I sin. And I say, we don't have to beat the rock again. We just speak to the rock. And he's got mercy for you. He's got grace for you, which is the enablement to go on and to not fail and to succeed and to go forward with God. And as a young believer, I didn't have my eyes fixed on Jesus. I didn't follow the counsel of Robert Murray McShane, who said, for every look you take at yourself, take 10,000 looks at your great high priest. Take 10,000 looks at the one who's there tonight. And what is he doing tonight? He's praying for you. He's representing you. So stop trying to slip away from church. Stop trying to slip away from prayer. Stop trying to slip away from daily, continual, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, every day, 24/7, walking with God. That's what he wants. And that's what he wants. That's what he wants from you. When he went to the garden, Adam wasn't there. He said, Adam, where art thou? He was slipping away, wasn't he? Adam, where art thou? I miss you. Come on back. I've got the provision. I've got the lamb for you. I've got the covering for you. You're not going to find any success. You're not going to find any fulfillment in anything other than the will of the Lord our God. Because he's beset you behind and before, late, you're surrounded. Don't try to slip away. Stay. Stay. Stay and play your part. Stay and play your part. You say, well, I'm not that important. I feel inferior to other people. You are not inferior to anybody. You have a part to play that nobody else can play. God needed your personality. I love that message Brother Hiles preached when he had John R. Rice there and R.G. Lee there, and he was just a kid preacher. He was preaching National Day. He felt so inferior. Then he saw that verse in Ezekiel, all souls are mine, which means I made every personality the way I made it, and thank God for that. I heard the piano playing. I didn't know who was playing behind me. I thought it might have been Lily or Anna or something. And I turned around. It was Celeste. I said, thank God. She's been playing her part. Playing her part. When that choir's up there, each person playing their part. You're important. So don't slip away. God knows what's causing you to slip away. God sees what's causing you to slip away. And he doesn't send you to hell for it. He's already provided the blood for that. He's already provided your high priest for that. He's already provided for you. So draw near and get mercy right away and get grace right away. Not to slip away, but to stay and play your part. And you know what? I've had to learn that over time because I would slip away when I failed. I would slip away when I messed up, and I would just backslide for a long time. And then finally I felt like, okay, now I can come back. No, that's not the way to do it. The righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up again. He gets right back in there. And I used to see men of God, and I would say, how does those preachers just keep preaching? How do they just keep going? And now I understand it better. And I hope you'll learn it. You young men, you can learn it young. And realize that you're watched always by an all-seeing God. So stop trying to slip away from him. There's a second point. You're watched always by an all-seeing God, so surrender to stay. So surrender to stay. Let me read that verse again, Psalm 139, which I believe God burdened me to preach to you tonight. It says, thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Now notice, first of all, in surrendering to stay, he says, thou hast beset me behind. Now, I believe these are encouraging words, because these are words of our covenant-making, covenant-keeping God, L-O-R-D. He's got your back tonight. He is behind you. Brother Eric tonight was talking to me on the platform here and talking about how God's blessing and how we see good things happening. And he says, I'm always ready, though, for the devil to slip up behind and hit us from behind. And yeah, we need to be ready for that, because he likes to sneak up behind you, and he likes to get you when you're seeing good things happen in your life and you're doing good things. He likes to pull you down from behind, and he'll sneak up behind you to try to do that. But listen, it says, thou hast beset me behind. The first thing he says, God's got your back. He's watching over you. As you're out there serving, God's got your back. The Bible says, the same psalmist wrote in Psalm 23, listen to this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You see, you're being followed by God's goodness. You're being followed from behind by God's mercy. Diane mentioned John and how God took care. And God does that until our time is up. He will not let anything get you until your time is up. And he'll follow you when the devil will try to slip up. How many times did the devil try to kill Jesus? Over and over again. But his hour didn't come, and the devil couldn't get him, you see. Oh, God protects us. God watches over us. So don't slip away. Stay and play your part, but not only that, surrender to stay and play your part, even though the devil will try to get you from behind. And I remember a lady in the church, Billy Jeffrey, and she just passed away. One of the most godly ladies I've ever known. She lived a Christ-like life consistently. And I remember Billy saying at one point in the church, I can't stand those that knife our preacher in the back. They come up from behind and they're knifing him in the back. Don't be that kind of person, a backstabber to the preacher or to a worker for God. If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. Don't you do that. Because the devil wants to cut down God's workers. And God protects you from the back. He watches over you from the back. And how does God have your back? Well, he says, thou hast beset me behind. Well, how does God have your back? Well, he has your back so far back that you wouldn't even believe it tonight. You know, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it says over the door, whosoever will may come. And that means you're invited to come to Christ, and you come and you walk through that door, who is Jesus. And once you see on the outside of the door, whosoever will may come, and you say, I will, and I come, and you go through the door and you look on the backside of the door, and what does it say? Chosen in him. Before the foundations of the world. God knows everything. You know, he knew before you were born that you would be born, how tall you would be, how much you'd weigh. He knew everything about you. Knew everything about your temperament, your personality. And here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Now listen to this. Foreknowledge speaks of a personal pronoun, whom, not a what. Predestination speaks of a what. In other words, God foreknew a people, and then he planned, predestinated what he wanted you to become. And so it says, for whom he did predestinate. And then the what has to do with his predestination. God said of the nation of Israel, you know, people say Israel doesn't do everything right. No, they don't. But God says of Israel that he foreknew Israel. He says in Romans 11:2, God hath not cast away his people whom he what? Foreknew. Whom he foreknew. That doesn't mean that he foreknew that the nation of Israel would choose him, therefore he chose them. No, he foreknew them with favor, with love, with grace, and that then led to him choosing them to be his chosen nation to bless the world. For whom he did foreknow? Israel. And he foreknew you. Romans 8:29 speaks of Gentiles and Jews who are saved, that God foreknew you, that he would make you to be his people and to be his sons and his daughters, and to have that personal relationship with you. And the Bible says that God made a covenant of grace with his son for all his chosen, whether Jew or Gentile, and all other gracious covenants are based upon that covenant of grace. You say, what, are you a covenant theologian? No, I just believe what the Bible says. God made a covenant of grace. You say, what are you talking about? Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Let me read it. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. You see, God promised eternal life before the world began. Well, you say, how could he promise me eternal life before the world began? He made a covenant with his son, and he said to his son, if you will die for these people that I'm looking upon with favor, and you will pay for all of the sins of all of the world, of all of these people throughout all of history, I will save them. And the son said, Father, I will do it. You see, the son didn't just die for the world of the elect. He died for the Father. He died for the Father. I'm saying tonight, if you're a believer, you can know that God is for you, and he's been for you from before the foundation of the world, and he made an agreement with his son to save you. And I know this is meat to chew on. I have meat to eat that some of you don't know about, but I'm going to give you some tonight. And that is that God has beset you behind. He's been besetting you behind before the foundation of the world. And so God's order of grace is foreknowledge, and then election, and then predestination. He didn't just predestine you to go to heaven. He predestinated you to be in his family as his sons and to eat at his table. And you would have a higher rank than the angels to rule over the world. That's what God's got for you. You're royalty. You say, so what does that mean to me? Stop trying to slip away. Surrender to this great plan of God to stay in his will and to stay with him and play your part, because God has your back. And I'm saying tonight that strengthens me to stay with God, because I don't have a daisy God. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. I've got a tulip God, that I am unconditionally elected. I'm particularly redeemed. I am blessed by God. If you don't believe that, well, fend the best you can. I believe it. I'm an unusual person. I just believe it if it's written. And I encourage you to take it tonight. Chew on it. And get some strength to stay and not stray away, slip away, and to surrender to stay in God's place and play your part. Not only because God has your back, but God's got your front. Look at Psalm 139 again, verse 5. He says, "Thou hast beset me behind and before." That means God is up ahead of you. God is up ahead of you. He's got your future. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Why are you all worried about tomorrow? God will worry about tomorrow. He's got it in his hand. God knows what's going to happen next week. Why are you worried about the great tribulation? God says, don't worry about it. I've got that. That's your future. It's not what's ahead. It's who's ahead. God's ahead. He's got your future. I read the last page of the Bible. I know the future. Thank God for the future. He's got that. Jesus is coming back. Amen. We're going to be raptured out of here. I know that. God's got my future. I remember as a young believer in Bible college, I went with Dr. Charles Ware. He was more mature than I was, and he always wanted to serve the Lord. And I hung around with him, which meant I was going to serve the Lord, you know. And we'd go away on the weekends, you know. We'd go up to New York State, blizzard snow, and we'd be up there, and we'd have some church up there, and we'd be up there serving the Lord in that church or preaching the Word of God in that church. And he would take me along, and I'd be going up there. I remember we had a guy named Dr. Wendell Kempton. What a godly man. He walked with God. And I remember one time we're going up to New York State, and Dr. Kempton, you know, Charlie said to him, "We're going up there. We're going to serve the Lord." And Dr. Kempton, he said, "I want to tell you guys something. It says in John chapter 10, Jesus said, 'And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know not the voice of strangers.'" He said, the Lord is going before you. I really didn't understand that at the time, but I now know that God goes before us when we serve him. When we go out soul winning, he goes before us to prepare the way. When you're going to church, he goes before you to prepare the way. When you go to teach a Sunday school class or to help out in the bus ministry or to serve the Lord, he is going before you to prepare the way. And that is such a blessing. I think of Miss Awilda tonight, and you know, it's hard when you've been over 30 years with someone and then they're taken to heaven. And the only thing I can think of is that Jesus said, don't try to worry about next month or tomorrow. You just get the strength one day at a time. And I'll give you the strength one day at a time. Because he's got the future in his hands, and we need to know that. And so he said, "I beset you behind." That's his choosing us. He said, "I've beset you before." That means glorification. We're going to come to glory. And the Bible says that we're to pray for one another that we would see the hope of his calling. And what is the hope of his calling? When God saves you, he has plans for you. I didn't know all that he would call upon me to go through. Thank God I didn't know it. When I was in Bible college, I'd be like, I'm out of here. But he went before me. He had it all planned out. And so you don't have to sneak away or slip away. You need to surrender to stay and serve God today, because he's got your future. You just take it a step at a time. I had my cell phone not working, so I couldn't get the office that I had the message for tonight. Use my wife's cell phone. Got down here, I had the wrong sermon. But I had sent the right one ahead. Things happen. But God's got the future. Commit your worries to God. A lot of the things you worry about in the future, they're never going to happen. And so God's got your front and God's got your back. So stop trying to slip away. Surrender to stay. And let me say one more thing. In Psalm 135, verse 5, it says, "And laid thine hand upon me." God's got you right now. He's got a hold on you. He's got his hand on you. And right now is the time. This is the place. Right now, do God's will for today. And you'll be right tomorrow. If you've been straying, come back and get right today. Because God's got his hand on you. You know, in the past, God says that he has blessed us with justification. In the present, he is working on us for sanctification. And in the future, he has planned for us for glorification. Right now, he wants us to be sanctified and to pull away from those things that are causing us to slip away. He wants us to stay with him, and he'll work on us to sanctify us, to make us to be exactly what he wants us to be. And when he's finished, we're going to reign with Jesus. We're going to have glorified bodies. Oh, that's going to be a wonderful time. A wonderful time. But just remember, God says, you're surrounded by my love and by my plan. I beset you behind, way back in the foundations before the world was. I had it planned to save you. I had a hope for you. I made an agreement with my son for you. And then I laid my hand upon you in time and I justified you. Now I'm sanctifying you and I will glorify you. He will get the job done. You say, how should I respond to these things? Stop trying to slip away from God and then stay away in the darkness. Get back and then just surrender to stay and play your part, because God has a part for you to play and he'll bless you if you do it. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed, and we've been talking about